Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski addressed state legislators at the Capitol in Juneau yesterday. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that in her annual address to the joint session of the legislature, Senator Murkowski told lawmakers that the state should do more to help Alaskans get real IDs.
This is going to take state resources in order to get out to these communities. And in fairness, it's not something that we can just pass the plate and ask for it to be funded. We've just got to put the resources towards it so that people can move.
Rural lawmakers have said the state should put more money toward helping residents get the federally required IDs by an October deadline. State officials asked in December for donations to bring state workers to villages to make real IDs, but the program has been affected by technical problems. In a press conference after the speech, Murkowski told reporters she's concerned about President Donald Trump directing money from military procurement and the National Guard to build the wall along the border with Mexico. She says Congress controls the federal purse strings under the U.S. Constitution.
We, as the congressional branch, have our powers under Article 1, and we will exercise them.
Murkowski said in her speech that the Trump impeachment trial may have been the most deeply partisan experience of her career. She was asked by a reporter whether she sees parallels with the recall campaign against Governor Mike Dunleavy. Murkowski says she sees Alaska as less partisan than Washington, D.C.
I mean, it seems to me that Alaskans are just so much more practical and pragmatic about what it is that we are dealing with that really matters. And I hope that we're able to stay that way. I hope that we don't let this divide us.
Murkowski also said federal highway funding legislation will be used as the state plans for the future of the Alaska Marine Highway System. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School District is looking at ways to make schools more reflective and accommodating of diversity. District Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Consultant Rodney Gaskins updated the school board at a meeting last night on a three-phase project. Gaskins says the first step, begun in November, looked at how other districts around the country are trying to improve. Gaskins said one clear takeaway is that all programs and policies need to be looked at through a diversity lens, and that means asking questions.
For instance, if it's a policy, looking at the policy and see who's not included. Who is it benefiting and who is not benefiting? Who's being affected negatively and who's getting or gaining an advantage? You know, what groups are not represented and which voices are dominant and which ones are not being heard?
Gaskin said phase two of the project is looking at the North Star Borough's current approach and comparing it to best practices identified at other districts. Gaskins emphasized that addressing diversity is a messy process and requires constant policy and program tweaks.
And of all the schools, districts that are doing diversity, equity, inclusion really well, they had a dedicated person or staff or an office that was dedicated to advocate.
Gaskins said the district is already doing some basic things right that can make a big difference.
When you're able to walk into an organization and see pictures on the wall of people that look like you, or to even see your language, native language, displayed, you know, it creates a sense of welcome. It creates a sense of I belong.
Gaskins also pointed to the importance of the broader community being engaged, noting that problems faced by schools reflect what's going on outside them. There was only one comment from the public following Gaskins' presentation. Gracie Ramirez said she learned Spanish at home but went to an all-white school.
And you know what? I didn't have any problems with that. It actually taught me to be stronger. I didn't need that diversity or anything, that inclusion. I think that's making it worse. Because I'm in the United States, I need to learn the language, and I need to learn how to be a United States citizen, not go to my culture and to learn about my culture. I am proud of it, but I'm not going to bring it in. I think that just confuses everybody more.
Ramirez said the emphasis on accommodating diversity has led to too many rules, and that's tough on teachers. There were minimal comments from the school board, but member Matthew Sampson noted that diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives will require additional training.
Teaching all students and staff all about the DEI program and how to be sensitive and caring and understanding and inclusive and accepting and all these nice things. And so my point is there's a cost associated to everything.
Sampson referenced a report recommendation of 2.5 staff to administer a DEI program and estimated a total cost of between $250,000. Gaskin said the final phase of the project is to develop an actual diversity, equity, and inclusion plan for North Star Borough Schools. That's expected to be ready in June. The Pebble Partnership leaned on Governor Mike Dunleavy for help last summer, pleading that the survival of their proposed gold mine was at risk and that the governor took up the cause. That's one of the episodes revealed in emails Pebble sent to the governor's office obtained through a public records request. The documents also show that a letter from mine opponents made a big impression on a potential Pebble investor. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Publicly, Pebble CEO Tom Collier always radiates confidence about the proposed mine and about the viability of the company, even when partner after partner has backed out. But in a July 17 email to the governor's office, Collier struck a less confident note. Back in July, Pebble was pinning its hopes on a Canadian firm called Wheaton Precious Metals for a substantial investment. Wheaton executives would visit Alaska later that month, and Collier wanted to show them his project had the governor's support. The Pebble CEO planned a dinner for the potential investors at his Anchorage home, prepared by a private chef. A senior advisor to Dunleavy was coming, but Collier felt it wasn't enough. Collier emailed Dunleavy advisor Brett Huber, pleading for the governor to change his out-of-state travel plans. The governor had to meet the Wheaton delegation, Collier wrote. A phone call wouldn't do it. I would not make this request unless I thought it was absolutely critically essential, Collier said in his July 17 email. This currently is our best option for survival.
It was really interesting to see him admit it.
Taryn Kiko-Heimer is an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council, one of the groups fighting the Pebble mine. She saw a copy of the Pebble emails late last year. CNN obtained them from the governor's office first, and the network let her read them. Heimer was struck by Pebble's tone, that its usual swagger was gone.
What's really evident is that they desperately need money.
Pebble declined an interview request for this story. Spokesman Mike Heatwall says the company is on firmer financial footing than it was in July after raising $20 million by selling stock. The governor's office also declined an interview request, and it refused to say whether Dunleavy complied with Pebble's request to meet the Wheaton team. But he did write a letter to Wheaton encouraging the company to invest, and the emails reveal the letter was written almost entirely by Pebble. The records from the governor's office also show what happened right after the Wheaton team visited Alaska. Heimer's group and other mine opponents wrote Wheaton a 12-page letter, basically warning that if you invest in Pebble, you'll face never-ending opposition. The message landed like a bomb. Within minutes of receiving it, Wheaton CEO Randy Smallwood sent a terse email to the chief executive of Pebble's parent company. Wow, things don't stay very secret around our visit, Smallwood wrote. Wheaton has not invested in Pebble, and the company isn't saying if it's still considering it. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And I'm Dan Bross.